right? Is that it? And she goes, yeah. And how many in the new and how many in the old? I already know there's 66, but I don't know how to split it up. And so shoulder and table of context, I just thought that was great. So, of course, I said, if you want to get your teacher good, you do your homework and you do it well, and then you get questions. And you ask good questions. So they have questions. Noah and her are pumped and excited to hit Brian with some questions. And if Brian goes deeper, then we'll go deeper with some questions and make sure they have fun. So I just, there's nothing more exciting than having your kids come home excited about what they learned and just excited about going to church and can't wait to get down there to hang out with their teachers to learn about the Word of God. It's just... Thank you for those that do that. I just, it's exciting. Romans 12:1 was a memory verse for last week. Anyone going to take a stab at it? Romans 12:1. Look at that. She just did it right in the front row. Anybody else? She whispered it, so she didn't help you guys. No? Why don't everybody look there, because it's important that we understand this verse for today. Romans 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or spiritual worship. I do like reasonable service. My kids did a half version, half another version. We focused on reasonable service. Again, as we talked about last week, that is important because without being a living sacrifice, without being on the altar of God, without being giving yourself to God, without being in the hands of God, you have no hope of having marks of a true Christian. You'll be going on your flesh. They'll be trying to figure things out on yourself. And as you can take time, you don't have to look very far. Just click on the news and you can see how far society gets without God. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. I mean, all the way from up top in our governments, right down through to our school systems, to in the homes. Financial problems, difficulties. Do you know the Word of God deals with all of those problems? Every single one of these problems that are in our society are written out and explained on how to handle these things. But it all starts here. It starts at the altar, and you must be willing to give yourself. And then with giving yourself, God provides the strength and wisdom. What was the number one issue we had last week with a living sacrifice? Anyone remember? What's the number one issue with a living sacrifice? Mona? It crawls off the altar, right? That's the number one issue with a living sacrifice. When things get tough, when things start getting a little aggravating, when things seem hot, we get off. And this morning we finished up Sunday school, and I just wanted to touch on that note. We finished up Sunday school with the Not a Fan study we'll be going into next called the Easter Experience. We're going to do a six-week study before Easter to really challenge us to look at Easter at the way it should be. I do not want us to go through Easter weekend and then move forward. We're going to spend 6 weeks on Easter before we actually have the service. And I think it's great for us to really realize that without the cross, we've got nothing, folks. Nothing. We're a mess. And but this morning, the last study, I believe, was the greatest of the six videos that we did. The sixth video is great, and we do have the videos. You're more than welcome to borrow them. It was the actual funeral service. And in the funeral service, the reason I thought it was so beautiful was that, I don't know, those who were there, you notice the pastor said, I have a few people. He had three people he was going to have come forward and share about Eric, this gentleman that died. But you see, he stood up to go forward after the second person and to call up his daughter. And someone else stood up and volunteered to go forward and share about how this man touched his life for God. And then after he sat down, someone else went up. And another person went up. And eventually the pastor sat down and realized that there was a lot of people there that wanted to share about how God worked through Eric in their life. And it just was challenging for each of us to think about, are you living a life that you are touching people, not in just that you're helping them, but they can see Jesus Christ. Because see, Eric could help each of these people, but without them knowing the relationship that was keeping him being and doing the things he was doing, they would just fall flat on their face as soon as he left. They needed to understand that it was Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, God our Father in heaven, that was providing the strength and abilities to do these things. So today we'll be looking at the marks of a true Christian, and all of these marks cannot be done without the power of the Holy Spirit. So before we dig into the Scriptures, let's have a word of prayer over these Scriptures. Father, we thank you. Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you so much, God, that you sent your Son for us. And Lord, I pray that as we dig into this word, Lord, that you would allow us to push aside anything else that's going on. Lord, let us not worry about our homes. Let us not worry about anything outside these four walls, but God, help us focus. Help us focus in a way we've never focused before. Let us have tunnel vision on your Scriptures. Let us remove all preconceived ideas. And let's look into this mirror, God, and help us change to become more fully developed followers of you. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite all those who can stand to stand with me as we read through the Scriptures. Romans chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. This morning you have the handout is in your bulletin there. You can follow along with the outline that I'll be using. First there in verse 9, it's not part of your outline, it's the important part. And if you could circle that or mark it, if you don't write in your Bible, then put notes on this on your outline there. But in my Bible here, as a pastor preached in the past, was I have written, am I a Christian? Am I a Christian? And I wrote that on the side along these paragraphs for me to think about. And the first thing there is verse 9 is the toughest verse out of all of them. It says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love be genuine seems easy, right? Love people. But when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, Pastor was just quoting that this morning, it's hard to have genuine love. See, the thing is, God sees the heart. You can say, listen, lady, let me hold the door for you. But in your mind, you're thinking, my goodness, woman, you could hold the door yourself, couldn't you? Right? You could help this old lady across the street, but do it because some ladies watch, some girls watching you, and you want to look good for the girl, right? The motive matters. Why are you showing this love? Because if you're showing a love to have someone else lift you up, it's pointless to God. If you're showing love to impress that person, then it's not for God. But if we're showing that love because of the love that's within us from God, it's totally different. Totally different. You know, in the video this today, this challenge to his daughter, Eric's daughter, was when she was at the mission there working, they called it the center, but it'd be like us here at the mission to understand it. She was mad at this girl because of how she treated and talked to her. But the father asked her one thing. Do you know her name? The challenge to her was, why are you here? Because if you're here for yourself, then there's no reason to be here. We need to be here for the person. And why are we here for the person? Because of the person that was here for us, that died on the cross. We do this, we act this way, we treat people this way because Jesus Christ gave us the 100th chance to come to Him. Next there it says abhor evil. The idea there is to hate it. To hate evil. Romans 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate." To hate it. To not enjoy it. To not turn it on your TV show and sit there and watch it and laugh and giggle because of someone being mistreated. To hate it. To be disgusted by it. To not be able to even look upon it without disgust. That feeling within you when you burp up your meal and it doesn't taste too good, you hate it. It's gross. You hate it. And last there, it says to cling. To cling to that which is good. You know, I think of 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And it says, "But test everything and hold fast to what is good." To hold fast, to cling to it. Like a child clings to their parent when they're scared because they know they're safe there. God wants us to cling to what is good. If it's good, if it's right, if it's of God, hold tight to it. Hold fast. Don't let it go. Keep that in your life, but hate those things that are evil. Now today we'll be looking at friends, acquaintances, and enemies. Your friends. And this is a challenge that was given to us in college. The guy asked us, "How many of you have friends?" We all, of course, everybody raises their hands. But then he challenges us, "How many of those friends encourage you towards the Lord?" If I told you the true definition of a friend is one who encourages you, spurs you on, pushes you to the Lord, how many of you could still raise your hand? Because to God, that's a friend. A true friend is not only one that would help you when your pipes burst tonight, okay? But it's going to pray with you. It's going to help you out in your walk with God. That's a true friend. A true friend. Those are the ones that we need. Now it goes through here, verse 10. "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another, showing honor." To show honor, 1 Peter 2:17 says, "Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." You know, be devoted. But the emphasis here is to the brotherhood. We need to be devoted to each other here. It's more important that you take care of those in faith than those that are not. Okay, we do need to prioritize in our life. We need to take care of those in the faith. Warren Wiersbe says, "If Christians cannot get along with one another, how can we face our enemies? If there's bickering and fighting going on in the church, how in the world are we going to handle this world? If we can't get along, then there's no hope." Right? There really is no hope. You know, the challenge is for the world to look at us and say, how in the world do they keep it together? They know that you're going to slip up. They know you're going to make mistakes. That's reality. I'm not saying we need to live a perfect life. But when they look at it at the grand scheme, they see there's something different about your life than theirs. You have an honor amongst each other. Next is the need to be zealous, to be fervent in the Spirit. This idea to be zealous, to be pushing on, as I think about, is don't let Satan take the wind out of your sail. Don't let the world have something happen. Don't let life just totally make you drop dead there and quit. We need to be zealous. We need to be fervent. And the way we do that is by the fact that we know why we're doing it. There's times that people come to you and say, "Well, it's not fair because I'm not being honored for what I'm doing. You know, I vacuum that floor and no one even cares. They just walk right all over top of it. They don't even care." But why are you doing those things? If you're doing it for the glory of man on this earth, then that's all you get. But when you do things for God, when you do things because of what God's done in your life, doesn't matter about the credit here because you know that your Father's pleased with you. You think about that as a child when your father told you he was proud of you. There's a deep part of you that's just a great feeling within you, knowing that your father's proud of you. And whether you had a dad that was like that or not, you can look at the scriptures and see that when we do this, when we act out this life like God wants us to, it's evident and obvious here that he's proud of us. And folks, there'll be nothing greater than to get to heaven, to be laying on your face and to have Jesus Christ say he's proud of you. Isn't it? What are you aspiring for? To have everyone get to church and have you come up front and pat you on the back? Or to get to heaven and have Jesus Christ pat you on the back? Next, to serve the Lord there. Verse 11, we need to be slothful in zeal. We need to be fervent in spirit. We need to serve the Lord. We need to be busy. We need to be busy doing the Lord's work. Next, rejoice in hope. Folks, this hope is not anything empty. It's not the hope that I know that we've been taught and shown in this nation. But we are told by this government of this hope, hope, hope. And it fell flat on its face because the hope was empty. Okay? He taught, they showed us this hope that had nothing behind it. This hope that we have is in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2, Jesus gave us the best example. Looking to Jesus, all right, the founder, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. How did Jesus withstand the pain, the agony, the fact that he could look out on that crowd dying on the cross, knowing that the same man that's spitting on him, that's calling him names, is the same man he's up there suffering for, was because he focused on the reason. Was for that man's soul. It was because he wanted to please the Father. He was doing it because it had to be done for God. God knew there was no other option. Trust me, folks, if there was another option than to send Jesus Christ from heaven to earth to have him put aside everything, to have the greatness of sitting there next to his Father, the enjoyment of being in heaven, to come down to be tossed in a pile of hay, to go through a rough life, to be thrown out into the streets, to be beaten, cursed at, if there was another option, he would have done it. Jesus was able to go through that. Jesus was able to get on his knees, on his face in the garden, and know that there was no other way. There was no way that this cup could be passed. He had to drink it. He had to take it. He pushed on because of you. Because he looked out there in that crowd and he knew that that soul could be greatly used if he would stop and realize that he was looking at the face of God. This hope that we have is not empty. It's great. It's how we can push on. Next, be patient. Be patient. When tough times come, it says, be patient in tribulation. You folks, when the tough times come, it's when people watch you. When you slam that finger with your hammer, that's the one that everyone knows. Everyone wants to watch and see how you react. The world's watching. They want to see how you handle these tribulations. We need to be patient in them. Next, be constant in prayer. That's how we're patient. We need to be constantly praying, talking with the Lord. You think God knew you were going to slam your thumb that next second? Yes. There's that one verse in the scriptures, right? He lets nothing come your way that you can't handle. Folks, nothing comes to you that you can't handle if you would let Jesus Christ work in your life. He gives you the strength, and he will give you the wisdom if you ask for it. The abilities to push on. We need to be praying. Next there, give to the needs of the saints. Give to the needs of the saints. Contribute to the needs of the saints. We need to help each other out. And it's not just with just words here in the church, but we do need to sacrifice for each other. You look at the book of Acts when the church came together. They sold things. They got rid of things to make sure each other were taken care of. We need to prefer our real friends, those who are in Christ. We need to make sure they're doing well, especially when we have the ability to take care of them. The saints need to lean on the saints. We need to lean on each other. The disciples leaned on each other for help, guidance, direction. We too, as disciples of God, need to lean on each other. Next there, show hospitality. Take care of each other. There may be even times that we may need to take each other into our homes. Take each other in to give each other a place to lay our heads. You know, when Nancy went through her hip surgery, many of us, many of you, leaned out and helped her out with food. My daughter brought over the movie Frozen so she could sit down and watch Frozen. Okay? It may sound silly, but Nancy actually liked it and kept it for the weekend so she could watch it again. Okay? My daughter showed hospitality. She has no idea how precious that video is to her. It's Frozen. Hospitality. Next, we look at here is our acquaintances, verses 14 to 16. It says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Luke 6:28 said, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Folks, this is hard. And this word here, blessing, is the same word where we get the English word, eulogy. Now, at a funeral service, they're given eulogies usually, or also at retirements or different times of people's lives, they have shared eulogies. But when a eulogy is given, do you focus on the problems this man caused or woman caused in life? No. You know, some pastors have a real hard time. People live a life and they are asked to preach at their funeral services, and they have to come there and they have to search and find something good that this man did. Okay, so make it easy on the preacher, right? Live a life that is pretty easy. But when the eulogy is given, you don't focus on the negatives of the man, right? Or woman. You talk about the positives. So what he's saying here is blessing. It's not saying that we need to just bless the negative things this man's doing or woman's doing in your life. You need to talk and focus on the positives. There is positives. You may have to dig. You may have to dig really, really deep for some of those out there. We need to find them. And the idea here is curse. It's not swearing. It's the idea of cursing, damning someone to hell. See, when you damn someone to hell, or you tell them that you know, I wish you would just go to hell, you remove the grace of God. You understand that not one of you here deserves heaven. I don't care how wretched or annoying that person is. You do not deserve heaven any better than they do. It's because of what was done for you by Jesus Christ that you have any hope. It's not because of what you've done. Jesus, when you get to heaven, is not going to go through the list of things that you did for Him and say, thank goodness we could not have done this without you. Okay? He can do it all. These things that we do, this life that we live is for you. It's for us. It's for us to enjoy those blessings. Next, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. This is tough for an acquaintance. Those that you may call a friend, but it's to show empathy. Empathy is something that I find tough. Okay? Your upbringing a lot will affect you in this part. But sometimes to a man who is to me what I would call as being pathetic, which is not correct, okay, you need to be empathetic and show when they are softer. When a woman needs you or a man needs you because they're having a rough time, we need to weep with them. When they're rejoicing, we need to rejoice with them. That's easier. But it's hard to be empathetic when they're weeping, because maybe something they did was wrong. Maybe something they did in their life was a very poor decision. They don't need you to remind them. The reason they're weeping is because they feel horrible at what they did. What they need is for you to just be there. They need you to be there, and when they get themselves together, that's when you can talk to them how you handle these situations. Next, it says, live in harmony. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be offensive. Now, I think of a guy that I worked with that was had a different faith than me. He would attack me when I got out of the car. Not literally jump on me and smack me, but he would be standing outside my vehicle waiting for me to crack that door so he could tell me something else that he found last night that proves to him that Christianity is wrong. Totally turned me off. Okay? That is not how we act out. That's not how Jesus was. When Jesus sat at the well, he asked for water, right? He didn't just walk away and look at this woman and say, "My goodness, you got five husbands, you sick woman. Get away from me." We do not attack. We need to live in harmony. Now, I know this is very hard, and we got to look back at Jesus' life. In fact, look at Paul's life. My goodness, that man was beaten, tossed, stoned. But we still need to live in harmony. We need to live out this life as Jesus would. We need to speak the truth. And yes, at times it'll be offensive to that person, but we need to make sure we're doing everything with love. Love is the characteristic they should see within you. They should be just spilling out of you is this love of Jesus Christ. And lastly, which ties right in there with the acquaintance, is to be humble. To be humble. This is associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Morris observes that a person who is wise in his own eyes is rarely so in the eyes of other people. Understand that? The person who is wise in his own eyes is rarely so in the eyes of other people. We need to be humble. We need to realize that we have faults too. We've got a lot of issues in our life. It's pretty easy to sit together and talk about the problems someone else has. Flip it around. Why don't you take turns on each other next time? Sit down amongst your friends and talk about the problems each of you have. And figure out how you're going to get these problems out of your life. Be humble. Associate with the lowly. Don't forget Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Don't forget that. When you tell, I'm not touching that bathroom. I'm not cleaning these floors. I'm not picking up that. That's disgusting. Jesus, you know how nasty those disciples' feet must have been? They didn't walk around with sneakers and socks on, folks. Sandals. Open sandals. Lastly, here is the tough part, is our enemies. Verses 17 to 21. Verse 17 starts right there. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. We need to not repay evil. This generation is big on retaliation. I remember my school teacher in school, when a kid was picking on me and messing with me, he said, "Jess, don't worry about it. Revenge is served best on a cold platter." That is the mindset. Somebody gets us, how do you get them? You don't just get them back. You go a little bit higher. Make sure they know, they understand not to mess with you. You think Jesus Christ could have stopped any of that? And we stop and we think about that. You think about Paul. How many times he was left for dead. And just get up, kept preaching. How mangled that man must have looked walking. They probably thought he was dead. Thought it was a dead man preaching. And he kept preaching and preaching. He preached to the men when he was in prison. He didn't stop. He took advantage of these times. Matthew 18:22. How many times did Jesus say that we need to forgive? We wish we could have had a list, right? I do not say seven times, but 70 times seven. Doesn't mean you have a notebook and you sit down and write down 70 times 7 and count it out. We just got to keep loving on these people. R.C. Sproul put it this way, in an act with integrity in the sight of all men. Let your honesty be a model to the world. Now, even your enemies should look upon you. You know, I think about Saddam Hussein, when he was everything that's going on over there. Did you know that that man had multiple houses, multiple lookalikes? Wouldn't that be a nice job, huh? You're a lookalike. So I need you to drive around in case someone wants to kill me, they kill you instead. But you know what? The 80% of his faculty and staff for all these houses, you know who they were? They weren't Muslims, I'll tell you that. They're Christians. 80% of his faculty were Christians because he knew they were honest and wouldn't steal from him. You think about where they live. Think about what they were doing with their families. They had no options. But they're working for this man, getting paid by this man because of their honesty and their integrity. He would search them out and find them and hire them to take care of his home. His enemies could see the difference in their own faith to the others. 1 Timothy 3:7 says, "Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil." You know, we grow up in a way that we want to say that I don't care what other people think, but it does matter. Folks, it does matter. If they're attacking you because of your walk with Jesus Christ, that's one thing. But if they're attacking you because of something that ought to be changed, is another. And we need to keep our integrity up. You think of Billy Graham, what he used to do, and how when he'd go to a hotel, he'd have the TV totally removed. He had men that he had hired that would go into these places and clear them out. He wouldn't even get into an elevator by himself, in fear that someone may try to set him up to ruin the ministry that God had called him to do. Now, could that man, you think that he could have made sure he took care of himself, made sure he acted in the right way? Billy, absolutely. But he'd rather have an accountability that was far beyond anyone else's accountability to make sure he did what was right. Next, live peaceably. Live peaceably. Again, this is tough, just as it was stated earlier. John Murray says, it is one thing if I give offense to somebody. It is another thing if a person takes offense to what I do. It is one thing if I give offense to somebody. It's another thing if a person takes offense to what I do. And we need to think about our lives. You know, we can't be this way. You know, Ravi Zacharias, when I was listening to him, he does this question and answer time, which is absolutely amazing, to just open up to a college like Georgia Tech and say, hey, anything you got, hit me with it. But a lot of times when these guys, these young men and young women ask questions, there's always a deeper reason behind it. They may be asking you about a question about a relationship about with God because they had no relationship with their parents. It could be because they were abused growing up that they think God is this way. You don't know what happened to their life that made them become the way they are. Jesus Christ, yes, He could literally look at a man and see right into their heart and know without a doubt in His mind that He could say a certain word. But we have to spend time. We have to spend time. We need to show them love. The best way, do you know what the best way, Bruce shared this, the best way to get rid of your enemy is? It's to turn them into a friend. Some of your enemies may be the best friends you ever had. You may lead them and show them by your life, and they could become the closest friend you've ever had. That'll encourage you and spur you on in ways that you've never had before in your life. And lastly, there he says to help their needs. To the contrary, verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so you will heap burning coals in his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I don't believe that Paul is saying here that get out there and give them a piece of bread because then they're going to really burn in hell. He's saying here that the best way to show Christ, the best way for us to represent what God's done in our life, is not to count those things, not to keep track of those things, but to turn it right around and help them out. You know, I think about it, and even in high school, my mother was terrified. This one guy that really messed with me growing up. I still remember the locker right next to my head was smashed right in from him punching the thing, trying to grab my head, wanting to crush my head. You know what irritated him more than anything about me? It was the joy I had in my heart. Literally. Yes, I was a wise guy, okay? You can go to sharing. You'll hear plenty of stories about me. Okay? It gives you hope for your children, right? Never know. But it was that joy. No matter what happened to me, no matter how big of a jerk these kids were picking on me growing up, didn't slow me down. And it was one day he went to go take his grandmother's car to get fixed, and he knew he was being conned. They wanted over $300 to fix the front end of her car. So he called me up and asked, "Can you help me out? Because my grandma can't do this." I said, "Sure, bring her over. Let's do it." My mom was terrified because she had to go to work, and she's just thinking, here's this kid that wanted to crush my head in. She's going to work. Here I am alone with a bunch of wrenches underneath a car, working on a car that all he had to do was, there you go, that'll take care of his head. Might have missed him with my fist, but that took care of it good. But you never believe, because the conversations we had, he brought it up naturally, why I did this, why I'd be willing to do it. But the thing that caught me more than anything was the fact that he knew that he could call and ask me. Folks, what are you doing in this life? Are you living it in a way that folks look on you, even your enemies, and know that when my mother dies, I can call you? That when my family's sick, I can call on you, and you'll come right over here. That when my pipes burst tonight, I can call you. All these things, folks, it matters in this world. The marks of a Christian. I challenge you this week to really just to take some time and look at these verses and really think about, am I doing this? And it all starts right there in the beginning in Romans 12:1. Are you a living sacrifice on the altar? If you're not a living sacrifice, if you're not out there doing it all for Jesus, it's not about you. This is not a life about Jesse. This is not Jesse's world. It's all about God. We are on this earth to glorify Him, to lift Him up, to give Him credit, to give Him glory. When people ask, why do you do this? You tell them, because Jesus Christ went to the cross for me. I can spend a few minutes with you. It's the least I can do. And look back there at verse 9 and really think about your life. Let your love be genuine. Hate evil. Abhor. Just detest it. Disgusting. Hate this evilness in this world. There is so much going on, especially with this new stupid video. I don't even want to give it the credit to say it. Absolutely irritates me. Disgusting. And this world is lifting it up. How you could be so offensive and just think nothing of it. If we watched it on the news, we'd say it's gross, but to go to Blockbuster, it's funny. Folks, we need to be serious about this Christian life. And your memory verse this week, Romans 12:21, and I'll read it again there and ask you to look and really think about this in your life this week. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful building we can be in, that despite the weather outside, we can be warm in here. And Lord, we can have time to really look at your word as a mirror. Father, I pray that you challenge each heart and mind here to really think about their life this week. Lord, to spend time to just look at these verses, to sit down with Romans 12 this week and really think about, am I a living sacrifice? Am I living a life that is holy and acceptable? And God, just help us, Lord, to have these marks of a true Christian. God, help us to be friends to all. Let us know the difference between a friend and an acquaintance. God, help us see the need to lift each other up, God. Lord, this whole entire scene would have been a mess if the disciples just started attacking each other right from the beginning. Lord, help us to love one another. Lord, that this world can look down on us and see that there is evident and obvious that Jesus Christ is working inside Berean. Jesus Christ is just like a lighthouse within this building, shining out amongst the community that people can just feel. They don't even need to be invited, God. They can just feel the presence of God inside Gilliland Center. Father, it's just so exciting reading of the revivals and the works that you did. All because of you. God, it was, yes, many men and women being obedient. But without your hand, it would never have become what it was. And God, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. God, show us our sin. And God, let us not make excuses for the sin. Let us hate it. Help us detest it. Let us be disgusted by our sin. And let us lay ourselves on the altar, removing these sins and leaving them there, and living a life that it is evident and obvious that our life is marked. It is obvious to others that we truly are followers of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, and we praise you already, God. We thank you for the work that you will do just for the simple fact of us asking you to help us. In Jesus' name, amen.